I am Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, coming up, we will talk about Caleb Williams finally getting his big opportunity and what we've seen so far in practice that leads us to think maybe the opportunity won't go particularly well. That and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, Caleb Williams is going to make his first NFL start, albeit in a preseason game, on Saturday in Buffalo. Matt Eberflus announced that Thursday. It wasn't a huge surprise, although I guess the health of the offensive line gave you plenty of reason for concern here in the first couple of days of practice this week.
Yeah, some of that has calmed down, but you know, they're still down a right guard.
Yeah.
In Nate Davis. If everyone else is back, you know, 4/5 of the offensive line, that's not terrible. And honestly, Pat, at this point, I don't want to go off on like a Nate Davis tangent here. I want to talk about Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
But at this point, since we're discussing the O-line, I don't see how Nate Davis or Nate Davis playing every game is going to be plan A for you. I think you need to right now be having a plan of moving forward as if Nate Davis won't be part of things. And if Nate Davis is back, if Nate Davis has a mostly healthy season, great. Nate Davis's talent is better than these other guys. But you have got to start working now on what you think is going to be your starting lineup for opening day.
The first game that matters is 4.5 weeks away. I don't think I'm at that point yet. I think that...
He's missed a lot of time already, Pat.
He has.
And this is a repeat issue.
Since what, July 29th, he was quote-unquote day-to-day. Matt Eberflus on Thursday referred to him as week-to-week, said the obvious, which was that he went out there on Sunday and had a setback. You know, all we know right now is that it's a muscle strain, but it did not go away in the week or so in which he was very, very limited. That means that Ryan Bates is probably going to be the right guard on Saturday with Coleman Shelton, the center. The two of them are competing for the center job. Otherwise, the Bears have said, you know, all preseason and during the offseason that they love their offensive line depth. That sounds like something to me that you say when you don't love your starters. They're going to have to rely on it in week one of the preseason, or week two of the preseason. That's never ideal.
I'm mostly content with the lineup that they've got out there for Caleb Williams on Saturday.
Yeah.
They've got 4 out of 5 offensive line starters. They've got all the skill guys. We assume. Matt Eberflus said Caleb Williams and all of the healthy available starters will play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could easily see a couple additions to that list saying, we're not going to play Keenan Allen or something like that. But in general, there's enough out there for it to be productive for Caleb Williams. And that's what I come back to as far as what needs to happen in this game for Caleb Williams. Let's just say he plays the first quarter.
Right.
That's what the Bills are doing. They're playing their starters the first quarter. We don't know if that will be what Caleb Williams does. Maybe he hands the ball off 3 times and exits.
Right.
But let's just say he plays the first quarter, Pat. I'm kind of fine with however that turns out as far as the big picture of Caleb Williams' career goes and his season goes. He doesn't need to be great or even good on Saturday. He just needs to be.
Right.
He needs to be out there, see what it's like, see what full speed, full contact pass rush is like, see what's working and what's not. Here's one thing that was kind of reflective, interesting and revelatory.
Okay.
In part of Hard Knocks on Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And this is an obvious thing.
Right.
But to hear Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams, with a rookie quarterback, mic'd up talking about it on the practice field, Matt Eberflus was telling him after one play, the window's closed too tightly here for you to try to make that throw.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams needs to see as much of that as possible in scenarios that can't cost the Bears a game.
Okay. I'm going to read you a couple of stats. The first one is this. Completion percentage 68%, 364 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions in 4 games. That was Mitch Trubisky as a rookie in the preseason in 2017.
I guess Joe Montana.
The next one, 61% completion percentage, 276 yards, 3 touchdowns, ooh, no picks, 92 rushing yards, and a touchdown.
Brady or Mahomes?
In 3 games.
Brady.
Justin Fields.
Close.
The last two rookie quarterbacks the Bears have had really good preseasons, and it portended diddly squat. So I think that's important to think about when you watch Caleb on Saturday. Now, enjoy it. You know, it's not every day around here that somebody's debut is this anticipated and has the potential to kick off an era of really good football and good feelings. So I do not blame Bears fans for planning their day around watching this preseason game.
I was furious that he didn't play last week. No, livid. No, outraged. I wanted him to play. Pat, how long have we been waiting for this? How long have we in Chicago specifically been waiting to see this? Since November?
No, since fans started rooting for them to tank 2 years ago? Probably.
Come on. Yeah, this is exciting.
What are you going to look for that goes beyond production?
I would just love to see him look calm. And I would love to see... I would love to see no dumb passes.
Okay.
But I could live with it if he does. See, here's the thing I want to ask you. Is the same question that I put to Matt Eberflus today. Mm-hmm. How do you view Caleb Williams and his development? What's your perspective on this, given that on one hand, mm-hmm. there is urgency. Mm-hmm. He needs to be ready to go. He's the starting quarterback. There is right. no Andy Dalton here. There's no whatever, Alex Smith, for him to kind of take his time. He has to be ready to go this season. And this season has major expectations. There are jobs on the line. Mm-hmm. This is a veteran, mostly built-out roster.
Right.
On the other hand, mm-hmm. a preseason game in Buffalo mm-hmm. in his rookie season is such a small, small step in what you imagine could be a 15-year career.
The list of, well, first of all, I think of it this way. I think, in general, as a rookie, if you can win with Caleb this year and win because of Caleb in years 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I think that's the dream.
I think that's smart.
I think to expect Caleb to lead you to victory as a rookie is hard. And I think if you look at all of the rookie quarterbacks in the last 20 years, only a few have been able to do that.
Maybe he does it a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, remember that Justin Fields' rookie season, they had the almost win in Pittsburgh. I mean, it wasn't Justin Fields' right. fault that they didn't do it. He almost did it.
Right.
He put him in a position where they could. You'd like to see a couple of those.
That was Cassius Marsh's
fault. Cassius Marsh, yeah.
I put it this way. On Saturday, I want to see him do the basics. And I think the number one basic is don't get hurt. That seems obvious. Mm-hmm. Don't get hurt. But how about no false starts? How about no delays of game? How about... you know, knowing where the ball's supposed to go. Whether you execute it or not, I think is secondary. But I think just looking like you know how to play quarterback is a good place to start. And to Caleb's credit, boy, he looks like more of a quarterback than Justin Fields ever did. And that's not a shot at Justin. I mean, it's a little shot at Justin. But, boy, he seems so much more natural. I'm not saying he's been more successful this training camp because it's really been up and down. But when you see it with him, it's pretty undeniable. I don't think you could ever say that about Justin in a practice setting.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think if I had to win a game today,
mm-hmm.
right now today, win a game, I would rather have Justin Fields
okay.
today.
Okay.
Because he has the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, so I don't think he's, you know, right now a better player than Justin Fields, but I do think he's a better passer than Justin
yes.
Fields right now. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that we can already see that.
I guess the other thing I want to see on Saturday is Shane Waldron. You know, we mm-hmm. haven't really seen, you know, everything they did in the Hall of Fame game was vanilla, and it was vanilla for two reasons. Number one, it's the Hall of Fame game. And number two is because the Bears play the Texans in week two.
Yeah.
You know, even Tevin Jenkins today was, or on Thursday was talking about, man, even the calls they made at the line of scrimmage, the old linemen about, hey, watch this guy, watch the, you know, that guy, they changed them. Because, you know, in a month, they didn't want the Texans remembering, oh, hey, remember when they said, you know, red, 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 that meant this. So the offense was pretty vanilla. I hope that with Caleb under center that Shane Waldron lets us see a little bit more. And I hope that it looks like a cogent offense. I mean, we haven't really seen an offense where both the run and the pass are effective at the same time. Like, really, since Adam Gase a long time ago.
My threshold for what will satisfy me out of this game, what I will be pleased, is Caleb Williams is decently protected.
Mm-hmm.
This is an offensive line that we've talked about before. Not the best in the league, not the worst in the league. Mm-hmm. This isn't like what Justin Fields had in 2021.
Right.
with Jermaine Ifedi and Sam Mustipher and some of those guys. It's kind of middle third of the NFL offensive line. So I will be pleased with Caleb Williams and the offense if the offensive line holds up reasonably well, mm-hmm. and Caleb Williams is like 3 for 4 for 20 yards.
Yep.
That'll be great. That would tell me, okay, good sign, positive.
And this is not something you think of when you think of a preseason game, though, but I think it's true. Boy, Bills fans are loud. Like, this is going to be a real operation on the road. Like,
yeah.
It's not, yeah. I mean,
it might be a good crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills are playing their starters. It might be a good crowd.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't going to be going to Wazoo or Oregon State. Like, this is going to be a real NFL crowd. And, you know, we've been to enough stadiums that some crowds are better than others. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bills are definitely in the top third.
Super loud, super local.
Super drunk. Super drunk.
There's not a lot of opponents getting seats in there.
Yeah, so I wonder whether that will be a good test for Caleb in that, you know, no offense to Houston, but like it may be louder in a preseason game in Buffalo than it's going to be in Houston in week 2.
Oh, that week 2 game is going to be...
That's a night game.
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one.
Houston crowd.
Defensively, this would be another good time to evaluate the Bears' pass rush, their defensive line.
Yep.
Except for the fact that I don't know how many of them are going to play. And Montez Sweat has basically been out all week.
Mm-hmm.
So
since last Wednesday's walkthrough.
Yeah, he's not going to play.
Right. Kyler Gordon not going to play.
And it's important because
Tyreek Stevenson not going to play.
When we talk about their offensive and defensive lines,
Jaquan Brisker not going to play.
Just chime in with them as you go. Go ahead. Roshan?
No. Roshan plays on the other side of the ball. Big Bill.
You can just throw on anybody. You can just interject.
Andrew Billings, maybe not. He's been kind of limited the last
few days. You throw on all the Bears. Anthony Miller not going to play.
Anthony Miller signing with the Ravens today.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, continue with your defensive point. I'm sorry.
Well, when we really want to see what they've got on the offensive line and the defensive line. We really want to see that because that's crucial this year. Offensive line to protect Caleb Williams. Defensive line because it is an enormous missing piece
mm-hmm.
for them, both pass rush and with question marks at defensive tackle, mm-hmm. which if you think back to Ryan Poles' first offseason, first big swing they took was to try to get a defensive tackle, Larry Ogunjobi, on a pretty big contract.
Huge deal.
And it fell through on the physical. As you try to evaluate that, you can't see much of it in the spring practices.
Right.
You're not getting much in OTAs. You get a little more in minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little more in the beginning of training camp. Mm-hmm. You get a little clearer view of it when pads come out in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
You get the best view of it when it's in a live game against another team's first string counterpart,
mm-hmm.
whether you're offensive line, then defensive line, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be a huge thing to pay attention to Saturday is, you know, without Montez Sweat, I guess, but is DeMarcus Walker getting some traction as a pass rusher? Is Javon Dexter looking like a defensive tackle of the future? Because he was a really high draft pick, so mm-hmm. he needs to be. And then, obviously, the offensive line issues that we just talked about. Okay. This gives you your clearest view of that.
I was talking to Travis Smith about this. He was saying, you know, he's the Bears defensive line coach. He was saying, you know, in the modern NFL, you need 8 guys who can rush the passer. Because it used to be that, you know, the nose tackle was just some refrigerator guy sized or refrigerator sized guy.
Yeah.
You ran out there and said, yeah, just hug the center for a while. But now everybody's got to be able to get to the quarterback. And Javon Dexter is a great example of somebody who needs production. And, you know, we can judge that on Saturday. You know, we can look around at, you know, Booker, you know, Austin Booker, the 5th-round pick out of Kansas who had only 500 snaps in college. You know, we can look at Dominic Robinson. We can look at these guys who might be able to solve the Bears' pass rush hole or problem that they have on, you know, opposite Sweat, or maybe not. And if not, then I think we can expect a little bit of movement from Ryan Poles in terms of maybe going and finding an edge rusher before the end of the season.
Who's the other starting... Who would be the third defensive end then? If Sweat's out, so Walker's your number 2 right now. So who starts opposite Walker? Are we talking Dominic Robinson?
No, I don't think so.
Booker?
No, who's the veteran from who played for the Texans last year?
Hardy? Martin?
Martin.
Jacob Martin. So you're thinking DeMarcus Walker and Jacob Martin.
Yeah, Khalid Kareem maybe in there. I mean... Yeah, I mean, it gets thin pretty quick.
You better hope Montez Sweat's got 17 games in him, man.
That's another reason, too, when we talk about concerns about the Bears' pass rush, and you and I have been all over this since, what, I want to say coming off of draft night, I think I wrote a story about, and they still need an edge rusher.
For the entire Eberflus Poles administration, we've been talking about this. This is the what they're having to do on defense. And Eberflus, to his credit, did all right at this last year when he was the defensive play caller. What they're having to do is similar to trying to scheme an offense around a major deficiency at quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, and it's not just that they need someone they can put it in so they can kick DeMarcus Walker to tackle on a pass down, which they need that. But it's also, this is the NFL. You need depth, and they don't have a whole heck of a lot of it there. Jason, before we get out, anything else that you're looking forward to seeing in Buffalo?
Yeah, we always forget the number 9 overall pick.
Yeah.
Everybody forgets. They drafted a wide receiver in the top 10 this year. Sure. I definitely want to see that. I definitely want to see Rome Odunze against first-string NFL corners, yes.
I'd like to see Torrey Taylor. Let's see if they make their rookie available to punt this time.
I would
time.
Not do that.
Why not?
Because why would you?
Because he's
got
punt.
This unique, tricky punting. Like, I don't want anybody getting a good look at that.
See, I understand.
And he doesn't need the practice.
I understand not telling the not showing the Texans because you're going to play them.
Yeah.
Who cares what the Bills see from field level?
I don't want anybody else watching the tape of any of it. There's no reason to deploy that early.
Boy, Mark.
He doesn't need the real speed of the game the way the other players do.
Boy, Potsy would hate the idea that we're talking about giving rest to a punter.
It's not giving rest, Pat. It's hiding. What do you think about Rome Odunze this year? Rome Odunze, number 9 pick, but he's sitting behind these other two guys. Not sitting behind, but there are two very established receivers ahead of him in the pecking order on paper. Mm-hmm. You wrote about him this week. Like, what are you seeing in the handling and maybe your projection of Rome Odunze?
I think he will have 3 or 4 games where he is statistically and by the eye test the best receiver they have. And then I think he will have 8 or 9 or 10 games where he's got 4 catches for 38 yards. And you know what? There have been years where if the Bears' third receiver gets 4 catches for 38 yards, hey, all right. Yeah. But you know, I'm looking at him not only as somebody who has to play behind DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, which is a luxury, but also somebody who's got to contend with Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett for passes. Somebody who has to contend with DeAndre Swift and maybe even Khalil Herbert. I mean, you can argue that he's their third best wide receiver. Rome's their third best wide receiver, but he might be their 5th or 6th best pass catcher as we sit here right now. Now, the bet is he adapts to the NFL, and he's as dominant in the NFL level as he was in college, which would be a major achievement.
Led the country in receiving yards.
Yeah, and led the conference 2 years in a row. So, yeah, he'll be exciting to watch. I just think that first-year receivers, have been doing really well in the NFL lately, but not a lot of them have to contend with two, Pro Bowl-level guys in their room, too.
Plus Kmet. Kmet had his best season last year, and,
Would Gerald Everett have last year 500 receiving yards? I mean, Gerald Everett's season last year is a top 30 season in the history of the Bears in terms of receiving, which tells you more about the Bears. Jason, before we go, any Hard Knocks highlights for you?
The slip and slide was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, actually, I think I don't find that to be silly. I find that to actually be a good, practical, safe way to work on something that guys need to work on. Sliding is pretty important when you're a quarterback. We went over that a lot during the Justin Fields years where, oddly enough, I think former baseball player Justin Fields didn't seem very athletic a lot of times when he slid.
Right.
Seemed like that was a way he was going to get hurt and might have actually been the way he got dinged up at different times. Never a major injury from that, but maybe a little back tweak or something here and there. So I liked that part. What about you?
Theo Benedict dropping his pants.
I knew you'd like that.
When you said that you didn't think slip and slide was silly, I was going to ask whether we'd met before and whether you knew my stance on silly, which is I'm for it at all times.
What happened with Caleb Williams in the singing thing?
He got through like two
John
words.
Legend songs?
Yeah, he was singing Ordinary People by John Legend.
And what did he... Just blank on the lyrics? I couldn't...
He was looking down at his phone, and he kind of stumbled over, like, the second word, and then he got wads of paper thrown at him. I would argue to you, and I said this to my wife...
Show some composure.
I said this to my wife in the moment. The number one overall pick who just told you that he's got $25.5 million of the Bears' money in his pocket, him stinking at that song, great news. Just great news for everybody in the room. If he had stepped up and just and sounded like John Legend, everybody in the room would sit there and be like, is there anything this guy can do wrong?
Too perfect.
Too perfect.
Okay.
And having Theo Benedict bring the house down, regardless of how he got there, was also perfect.
So Caleb Williams' poor singing is his Kermit the Frog voice, basically. It's the flaw.
It portends.
It's the flaw of Patrick Mahomes, you know, the Kermit-sounding voice.
If somebody had come to you when you were a child and said, if it were a genie, and the genie said you'd be the greatest quarterback of your era, but you'd sound like Kermit the Frog the rest of your life.
And everyone will know it. Yeah. Deal.
Yeah, deal. Yeah, that's a good deal.
I'll work around that. I'll figure out a way. I liked the Karan Amagaji on the cymbals.
That was beautiful.
I think that was funnier, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
Than the strip down. The strip down is easy. I mean, that's kind of the lowest hanging fruit. Poor choice of words. That is like the easy humor. The cymbals, that was funny.
And here's the thing. You could have brought in regular cymbals. Kind of funny.
Right.
Tiny cymbals?
Yes.
Hilarious.
See, you get it.
And then Cole Kmet and Hard Knocks did a great job when they did the tiny cymbals of showing Cole Kmet, who laughed for the right reasons, which was fun. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not a lot of... I was surprised there was very little cursing on the show.
There was none, I think.
I know.
Zero, I think.
Yeah. And Ted Cruz, by the way, Matt Eberflus shouted him out today as being maybe the major line of defense there, helping hold it down for a PG-13 rating.
Interesting that Matt Eberflus was involved in the editing. I wonder what he means by that. I wonder how involved.
Do you think he edited his wife and daughters into most of it? Do you think that's what
I mean, he said he was involved in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing we've learned from Matt is Matt watches every press conference that everybody in the building gives and expects his coaches and players to do the same. I think that absolutely lines up and checks out for me. Jason, there will be another episode on Tuesday, but there will be another episode of football on Saturday in Buffalo. We will be there, and we will do a podcast afterwards. Until then, you can follow Jason, Mark Bodash, and myself over at the Sun Times. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.